Good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be here with you in Calabasas, in California. First time I'm here. And I was asked to speak a little bit about the purpose of life. Please, before you leave here tonight, I brought you free CDs and DVDs. Tonight, I'm only going to give you a taste, a preview of this topic, but I have a 2.5 hours film. It's made better than Hollywood. I'm not joking. It's made in a very high quality with pictures and music, and it opens up the heart. So if you watch it, it will give you a different taste to your life. That's for sure. In Israel, hundreds of thousands of people watched it already. So it's very, very big success. But one thing that we can start with is, when we look at the Jewish people in the world, there are many, many successful Jewish people financially. They have key positions in the world. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of power in politics. In every country, the Jews are always on the top of the pyramid. They control the fashion world. They control the high-tech world. They control so many things in the world. So the Jewish people has a lot of power. The amount of the Jewish people in the world is only 13.2 million Jews. It's a little crumb from the cookie. You have a huge cookie. A little tiny crumb fell from the cookie. Nobody cares about it. It doesn't make any change to the cookie. But if you take that little crumb from the world does not have an existence. To a clever person, it's very obvious, even before we get into religion, before we read the Torah, before we analyze it, and before we understand this is the plan and the word of God, before all of that, just from a secular point of view, the world understands the Jews are the center of the world. Israel, such a tiny country, tiny, size of smaller than New Jersey, but everybody speaks and wants Israel all over the world, every generation, non-stop wars, bloodsheds, so much hatred around. Everybody wants to control Jerusalem and Israel. The whole world, look, and you go into Jerusalem, you see Christian churches, Turkish churches, Arab, Armenian quarter, things from the time of the Romans, things from the times of the Greeks, things from the times of the Babylonians. Non-stop. You wonder to yourself, there's no other city like this in the world, and everybody fights over it. People come with massive army, with boats, from the end of the world, from Iraq, from Italy, all the way to Israel to steal that tiny city from the Jewish people. Nobody ever cared about other cities in the world like Jerusalem. Even today, we look at the Muslims. In their Quran, you don't have the word Jerusalem mentioned even once. But they're willing to give their life to steal Jerusalem from the Jews. You see what's happening here. You wonder to yourself, what's going on here? It's not something normal. The Jews are the smallest nation in the world and the most powerful nation in the world. Israel is the smallest country in the world and the most important country in the world. Judaism is the first main religion. First one. What do we see? We see over here that that something here is not regular and natural. It's supernatural. It has to be something that is above nature. It's nothing to do with the laws of nature, because according to the laws of nature, nobody in the world would care about such a small place. Nobody would fight so much about a place like that. So let's start making a little bit order in what I'm trying to say. When we look at the 13.2 million Jews in the world, I promise you right away that 12 million of them, at least, have no idea what's the purpose of life. Have no idea what they live for. You go to the professors in university in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, in New York. Take the smartest Jews in the world. Take Albert Einstein. Ask him, Mr. Einstein, you're a very smart person. What is the purpose of life? He has no idea. Take the vice president of the United States almost. What's his name? The senator. What's the purpose of life? He has no idea. You ask any doctor, any professor, any billionaire, any computer genius, sports, models, movie stars, take any Jew on the planet, tell me please what's the purpose of life? No idea. What's the answers you're going to get? To be successful, to stay healthy, to be happy, to get married, to have children, to be in love, to be successful, to be powerful, to live in peace. That's more or less what you're going to hear. What else you're gonna learn? What else you're going to hear? From all the list of the things that I mentioned, everything I say is total nonsense. Total nonsense, and it's not in the right direction. Why? Because if the purpose of life was to be healthy, we would not need to be human being with the divine soul. We would be a chimpanzee. They're also healthy. The dog is also healthy. The mouse is also healthy. The eagle is also healthy. You don't need to be a human being to be healthy. If that's the purpose of life, to be healthy, the chimpanzee has a much healthier life. How many times he needs surgeries and how much cancer he has and how many other problems and viruses and all the things that we have every other week, they don't have it. So that's not the purpose of life. If the purpose of life was to be powerful, how many of the people in the world are powerful? Not even 1% of the population. 99% of the people in the world are poor, are workers, people with no human rights, slaves, people with no brain, people with no freedom. The world is full of people that have no say. Nobody cares what they say. In the Arab countries, 1.8 billion Muslims. How many of them have power? Not even 100 million. What about 1.7 billion other farmers, ignorant people, do not know how to read and write, work in the farms, all kinds of young terrorists, people with no future, no vision in life, no nothing. If the purpose of life was to be powerful, every person was powerful. In reality, 99% of the people are not powerful. It cannot be the purpose of life. What else can be the purpose of life? Education. To grow in education. First degree and another degree and master degree and to be a professor. If that was the purpose of life, at least 70% of the people in the world do not have the ability to be educated, either because they don't have the money for it, or because they don't have the brain or the patience for it. And plus, many of the people that has a lot of education did nothing in their life with their education. Do you know that they show a report in the United States? 80% of the college graduates do nothing with what they graduate in. Nothing. It was a total waste of time and money, and they owe more than $100,000 student loan with 6% interest for the next 20 years. Not only the education did not make their life better, it actually destroyed their lives. Now they're 25, 26, whatever they are, with $100,000 or $200,000 debt, with 6% interest, no job, collecting unemployment, living off food stamps. Or some of them went to work for daddy. So why didn't you go to work for daddy 5 years earlier? Why do you need to sit there in college for 5-6 years and waste your life? No explanation. That's not the purpose of life. If the purpose of life was to be nice looking, beautiful, handsome, pretty, good shape. Most of the people in the world are overweight, not exactly gorgeous and not beautiful. And you know, there's all kinds of other problems. So that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. If the purpose of life is to enjoy the physical world, beautiful world, all kinds of colors and vacations and yachts and swimming pools, whatever, you name it. How many people in the world has this privilege? Not everywhere it's Los Angeles, California, or New York City. There are places in the world that people are worse than slaves. Their life is worse than dogs. So they don't ever see in their entire life one nice picture. They are in a very poor neighborhood, are destroyed by the gang over there. Like in Mexico, you go to places you cannot believe the life the people live. Or in some other places. And even in Israel, you have people like this. That they cannot see anything. They go to sleep hungry every day. If the purpose of life was to be rich, most of the people in the world are poor. Or average, middle class. The majority of the people in the world are not rich. So what is the purpose of life? To get married? Tons of people never get married. Hundreds of millions. They die single. Many of them got married, but it did not work out. It made their lives worse. They would rather not to get married now, eventually, after they realize what it did to their life. So what is the purpose? If the purpose is to have kids, again, you can be a chimpanzee. They also have kids. They don't need to invest in them 20 years to change their diapers, take them to vaccines every other week. This, pneumonia, that, school, tutoring, problem, worry about them, find them a kala, find them a shiduch. They didn't have to do all this, right? So basically, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you now, from 22 years of experience, meeting hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, I've been in many, many countries and many, many cities, and have listeners in 2,023 cities in the world who exchange with me emails on a weekly or monthly basis, 500-600 emails every day. I'm telling you, you will not find one person that knows the purpose of life. Not one person. Nobody knows. So in that case, what's the mystery of life? Anyone here think he has the answer? Does it bother you? Do you wake up sometimes from your illusion lifestyle and ask yourself, what's going on in this miserable world? Look how much terrorism. Look how much I have to suffer when I want to catch a 40-minute flight. I want to fly from New York, from Los Angeles to San Francisco. 40-minute flight. I have to suffer 2.5 hours because maybe somebody put a bomb on a plane. Take my shoe off, take my belt off, open the suitcase, come here, stand here, don't touch your bag, wait, come here, come again, all these things. What's going on? How much? What is happening in this world? The answer is, the only way to understand and to know the purpose of life is by following the instruction of the one that created life. Make sense to you or no? You want to know the purpose of the laptop. When they invented the first laptop in the world, who was the right person to teach the world about the purpose of this new invention? Who would be the one? The creator of the laptop, the engineer, or whatever you want to call it. He would be the one that will be able to explain better than anyone else what can you do with the laptop and why he made it and how to use it correctly. If someone that has no idea what laptop is will try to teach the world the purpose of the laptop, will he do a good job or no? I'll give you one example. Sometimes the computer freezes. You know that when it freezes, it drives you crazy? How would you ever know that in order to release the freeze of the computer, you have to press 3 buttons and that will release it? How would you know it? Take a million years and press any function you want. You would never know it. What is the chance that a person will find out to press on those exact three buttons, from more than 100 buttons, whatever it is, he knows that you have to press these three buttons, and that's the only way to save the computer, unless you have to shut it off. You will never know. The only one who taught us that is the one who made that idea. When you get stuck, press on those three, and it's going to do something in my computer, and it will go back to normal. Therefore, I'm assuming that you're beginning to understand what I'm talking about. The Jewish people, one day they shock the world. They came to the world and they say, all of you saw that the creator of the world, for specific reasons, he chose us, from all the people in the world, he chose us, the Jewish people, to be his children, and he gave us his book. He gave us the book of manual, the instructions. But he did not just give it to us in an isolated place. He gave it to us in a public event that millions of people witnessed that. No one in history will ever dare to deny it. Not the Muslims, not the Christians, not other religions. No one ever tried to deny that the Jews received the Torah in Mount Sinai. The only one that denies it are secular Jews. No Christians, no Muslims. Christians and Muslims are not exactly, to the best of my memory, they're not exactly crazy in love with the Jewish people. Not, you know, maybe they don't hate them, but they're really not in love with them. I mean, let's say, you know, they would do pretty good without them. At least that's what they think. Then they will have to give up their iPhones and their laptops and all the equipment in hospitals and many of the cars and airplanes and lots of other things in life. One time one person sent me a picture. You know, they send people send funny pictures on WhatsApp. So it shows two pictures. A family of fancy people, bow ties, you know, fancy, all suits and ties. And then 10 years later, the same family became the cavemen. You know how the cavemen had this bat? And you know, they're all like this. So the kid asked his father, Abba, how we ended up like this? So his father said, that's after we made the mistake of our life that we decided to ban Israeli products. We went back 3,000 years in history. Why? Every invention today in the world is made in Israel. Intel, Microsoft, Apple, all the brains are all Israeli kids. But not Israeli old people, 17, 18, 20, 22. They actually designed the world by the minute. They have no idea. Even Windows, it's one Israeli kid, sold it to Bill Gates for $500,000. The rest is history. Google, all these things, it's all Jewish brain. Facebook. I don't know if Facebook is such a great invention. Bottom line, you know, look in America. 50% of the doctors in America are Jewish. But how many people live in America? 400 million people, approximately. Illegal immigrants, maybe it's even more. 6 million Jews live in America and 400 million Gentiles. 6 million and 400 million contributed the same amount into the cake. 50% came from him, 50% came from him. It's unheard of. Same thing, lawyers and judges, by statistic. It's unbelievable. Number one contributors to charity in the whole world. In every country. Who? The Jewish people. 99% of them give the charity to places that it's not allowed to give. Eliran, I really hope that you're not planning to do an event with this.
It's not my equipment, it's in the book.
Ah, okay, good. No, because I tell you, if don't be surprised if the check will bounce the next day. Anyway, anyway, the Jewish people shocked the world one day when they showed the world that God chose them. Good thing I saw that they moved the camera, so I have to move accordingly. So when the Jewish people brought the book, the whole world was in shock. Why? Everybody understood that God gave his book to humanity. The Torah in Hebrew means instructions, book of instructions. Torah means Hora'ah, instructions, how to teach. I'm not trying one more time, don't waste your time. So, instructions to the world. Now, the instructions that the Jews receive from God applies only to Jews or also to Gentiles? What do you think? The Torah is only for the Jewish people, it's also for the Goyim. The answer is totally wrong. The Torah is for the Jews and for the Goyim. So why God never gave the Torah to the Goyim? He said the Goyim would learn from the Jews what's their purpose in life. The Jews will teach them the 7 laws of Noah and what the Gentile has to do in this world in order for him to go to heaven when he dies. Heaven of Gentiles. Pay attention to something very interesting. If you come to a Muslim person and tell him, Saeed, I have a question. Yes? If I will not become Muslim, like your dream, I won't. There is any chance for me to go to heaven when I die? Saeed will answer, are you crazy? If you won't become Muslim, you have no share to the world to come. You go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Yes. If I will not become Christian and will not believe in JC, JC Penny. If I will not believe in JC, is there any chance that I can go to heaven when I die? Not only you won't go to heaven, you will go to the worst hell. You don't accept JC, you're a wicked person. And when JC will come to save the world, you'll be the first one, he will burn you alive. That's the answer you're gonna get from him, if he's honest. If he's not, he's gonna say, son, we love you, we are the religion of love, we never killed anyone, we never torture anyone, come, we accept you the way you are. But in the books, you don't believe in JC, you don't accept him as the son of God or the Messiah, they didn't make it up yet. They still argue for 2,000 years what he was. One way or the other, you must become Christian. If you want to stay a Jew, you cannot go to heaven. Any one of the cults that believe in heaven and hell, they will require you to become one of them in order for you to go to heaven. Without becoming a part of their religion or cult, you have no chance to go. The only people in history, that say to the world, not only you don't have to be a Jew to go to heaven, you better off stay what you are. Just keep the 7 law and you go to heaven. That's it. No, but I want to be a Jew, Rabbi. Don't be a Jew, it's hard. Why do you need headache? Stay Tony. Just believe in 7 things, keep the 7 laws, be a good human being, believe in one God, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit sex crimes with the relatives of your family. make a court system and police. No idol worshiping, and don't eat any animal before you kill it first. And then everything that required by human logic, and you are a righteous Gentile and you go to heaven. Without being a Jew, Rabbi? Without being a Jew. No, no, but I still want to be a Jew. No, no, come back in 2 years, go. The Jewish people are not missionaries. They never ran after Gentiles to make them Jewish. Not only they never did it, 99.9% of the Gentiles who came to become Jewish were sent back. Go to the same place you came from. This is your instructions how to be a righteous Gentile. Adios. Some of them never gave up. No, no, I insist to be a Jew, Rabbi. We saw that he has a good potential, he's serious, he's not giving up. Eventually, he's converting to Judaism and he can become a regular Jew. But that's an exception to the rule. The rule is most Gentiles are turned down. Stay a righteous Gentile. What do you need to be a Jew? What does it teach you? The story I just told you, that every religion you come to, besides the Jewish people, first rule, you must be one of us and hate the others. The only religion, that will tell you stay what you are is the Jewish religion. What do you learn from that? That there is only one real divine religion. The religion that does exactly what God say to do. If it wasn't from God, first thing the Jewish people would do, you must join us. The more people we have, the more power we have. The faster we occupy the world, right? If we have 13.2 million Jews and we dominate the world, what happens if we have 1.3 billion Jews? Hundreds of millions of converts every year. What's the problem? We'll become a massive nation. Convert Bill Gates, convert Warren Buffett, convert movie star, convert, massive amount of conversions. Everyone, doesn't matter, Orthodox, Reform, gays, everyone, Kadima, as long as we occupy the world. In 10 years, the whole world will be 80% Jews. But the Jews never did it. Why? God never said to do it. There are instructions. Whether we like it or not, we stick to the instructions. If we move an inch from the instruction, we become wicked. Why? When you receive a book from the creator of the world, you don't have the leverage to mix your own logic and your own opinions. The ones that try to mix their own feelings, their own opinions, and their own logic into the Jewish religion, such as the Reform people and the conservative people, they lost 100% of their Jewishness. Nothing in what they do is Jewish anymore. Nothing. Especially the Reform people. They marry men with men. The Torah says it's a horrible crime. No problem for them. The Torah says a Jew that marry a non-Jew is a huge criminal and betrayed the God of Israel. And his children are not Jewish. But they marry to begin with. They make a big party and they marry Jews to non-Jews. Even though it's a very, very big crime against God. They don't care. The Torah says there are many things that the Jews cannot eat. They eat everything. The Torah says there's certain thing only a man can do and certain thing only a woman can do. They don't care. Women does what men do and men does what women do. They make a big salad. The Torah say it's not allowed to dance men and women when they dress not modesty and touch each other in public. That's called zima, znut. There's nothing God hates more than this. They do it every minute inside their synagogue. The Torah say there's no permission to violate Shabbat. The Sabbath is a holy covenant between God and the Jewish nation. You want to be a member in my nation, you must be Shomer Shabbat. You do not keep Shabbat, you don't belong to my nation. You cannot call yourself Jewish, that's the Jewish law. 99% of the Jews in the world do not know this law. How many secular people consider themselves goyim? Did you ever meet one? A secular person kiss the mezuzah 20 times a day, writes a check to the synagogue on Yom Kippur, eats kosher, eat kosher, even sometimes put tefillin when business is not so good. Maybe he will give it a boost. But he doesn't keep Shabbat, meaning he drives the car, smoke a cigarette, watch television. According to the Jewish law, since he breaks the laws of the Sabbath, he cuts himself out of the Jewish nation until he will reconnect by starting to keep the laws of Shabbat. He doesn't need to convert because he was born a Jew. But as long as he breaks Shabbat, he's excluded from the Jewish nation. By the eyes of God, is not considered to be a Jew. That's the law. It's written in Shulchan Aruch, the Jewish book of law. Seven times. Yes.
I just have a question. I agree with what you're saying. It's just very hard for me to, understand. So what you say...
It's also hard for me, by the way. Okay. That's what it says.
That if I know someone that
do tefillin
every day,
I understood your question. Let me answer.
But he does.
No, I got it. I know.
So that means let me finish. So that means everything he does doesn't count. He doesn't get any credit for it only because he drives on Shabbat.
Okay, I already understood the question before, but I'll tell it to you. First of all, everything counts. Everything. Even when Gentiles do things, they get a reward for it. So when a secular Jew does it, needless to say that he's going to get a reward for it. But the question that we're asking now, are you Jewish or not? The way to determine if you're Jewish or not, it's A, your mother must be Jewish, the father, it doesn't matter. Jewish or not, it doesn't change your identity. The mother must be Jewish. Rule number one. The mother is not Jewish, you cannot be a Jew. Even if you feel that you are a Jew, you're not a Jew. Step number two. From the day you become 13, if you're a man, or 12, if you're a girl, you must keep the Sabbath. You do not keep the Sabbath, you lose your Jewish identity immediately. You consider a goy. Mechalel Shabbat areu kegoy lechol davar. All the restrictions that apply to the goyim applies to him. Everything that is, we say in the Jewish law, that applies to Gentiles, apply to this Jew. For instance, if he dies, you cannot bury him in a Jewish cemetery. You have to make a wall and bury him on the other side. You cannot bury him with people that keep the Sabbath. If he touched the wine, a Jew is not allowed to drink from it. A Jew cannot drink from the wine if he moved the wine. Why? Because the wine became impure. If he was a witness in a wedding, the husband and wife are not married. They have to get remarried. Because just like when a Gentile will come to a Jewish chuppah and be a witness in a ketubah, the husband and wife needs two kosher Jewish witnesses. If one of them was a non-Jew, the husband and wife are not married. If one of the witnesses was a secular Jew, meaning he doesn't keep Shabbat, the husband and wife are not married. One day they will have children. The children are considered children out of marriage. Not mamzerim, thank God. They're not illegitimate kids. But it's like a boyfriend and a girlfriend that have a kid without getting married. The kids are legit Jews, but they are kids. That they are kids that came to the world without marriage. It definitely doesn't add to their status. And there is a restriction. A Jew that gives a loan to another Jew is not allowed to charge him interest. Not allowed. But if the Jew that borrowed the money does not keep Shabbat, since he's considered to be a goy, you're allowed to charge him interest And it's no punishment to you. Why? Because you're allowed to collect interest from Goyim and you're also allowed to pay interest to Goyim. So if a Jew is not Shomer Shabbat, you can charge him interest on a loan. And you don't lose your share to the world to come. But if you charge interest from a Jew that is Shomer Shabbat, you don't resurrect in a resurrection of the dead and you will not see Mashiach, the Messiah. That's how severe is the punishment for charging interest from Jews. But if the Jew is Mechalel Shabbat, you got saved. He's considered a Goy. You understand? If he cooked food, the food is not kosher. Even if it's glatt kosher steaks, you're not allowed to eat from it. And there's hundreds of laws that apply to him. He wants to bring a sacrifice to Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to accept it. The Kohanim in Beit HaMikdash. Mr. Lee from China, he brings a sacrifice because he had a daughter. So he wants to say thank you to all the gods that he believes in. And one of the gods that he wants to say thank you to is the God of Israel. So he comes to Jerusalem, he buys a goat in a market, he comes to Beit HaMikdash, Chinese, Mr. Lee, or Muhammad from Saudi Arabia, came with a goat. Mr. Cohen, Rabbi Cohen, here I want to say thank you to God for giving me a daughter. Take this sacrifice and sacrifice it for me. The Kohen take it and sacrifice it for him. But if Yitzhak Levi, a Jew, his father is a rabbi, but Yitzhak Levi is Mechalel Shabbat, is not Shomer Shabbat, and had a daughter, and he's traditional, he puts tefillin every day, he wants to say thank you to Hashem, the Kohen in Beit HaMikdash is not allowed to accept the sacrifice from this Meshumat. This is the words of the Rambam, the most important Posek rabbi in the last 1,000 years, that lived 900 years ago. So it's obvious that Mechalel Shabbat is considered to be 100% like a goy. However, even a goy that does something good, he gets a reward for it. Therefore, if a Jew is putting tefillin, Hashem will give him reward. If he gives charity, he will get a reward. But he cannot have a share to the world to come because the Torah says, "Venichreta anefesh ha'i miYisrael." I, God, is going to cut that soul out of my nation. And he does not go to where my nation goes. In the Torah, we had the prophet of the Goyim, Bil'am. Bil'am was a prophet of the Goyim. Bil'am said in his prophecy, "Tamut nafshi mot yesharim v'ti'i achariti kamohu." He's talking about the Jewish nation. Bil'am says, "I want to die like the Jewish nation, and I want my end to be like them." What does it mean? Do you see a difference how a Jew ends his life and how a Goy ends his life? The Jew got a heart attack, fell and died. The Goy got a heart attack, fell and died. The Jew was in the bus, the Goy was in the bus, and Arab blew up the bus. They both died, the Jew and the Goy. They both explode to pieces. Where does it say that the Jews die in a different way than the Goyim? Whatever killed Jews, killed Goyim. Same thing. Some Goyim die young, some Jews die young. No difference. So what Bil'am, the prophet of the Goyim, what did he mean by saying, "I want to live, I want to live like the nation." He's afraid from the name Bil'am. Yes.
I have a question. Yes. About the Shabbat and everything, where is
it
from the Torah?
From the Torah,
100%.
Huh? You can. Sure. I have a whole lecture made just about the sources. You speak Hebrew?
Yes.
Okay, go on my website, divineinformation.com. Wait, let me finish. Click on the film Shabbat, right on the front page. Click on Shabbat, half an hour, all the sources. Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah, Gemara, Zohar, Chumash, which parasha, everything.
Things.
It's also not okay.
It's not okay.
Not okay. However, let me explain to you something. We didn't ask who is okay and who is not okay. We asked who is a Jew and who is not a Jew. To be a Jew, you must have a Jewish mother and you must be a Shomer Shabbat. No, again, to be a Jew, in the eyes of God that decide what Jews mean, please, don't help me, please. God is the one that made the world Jewish. He is the one who made the religion Judaism. He decides who is a Jew and who is not a Jew. Not you and not me. Nobody. No rabbis decide. Only God. And God say, if you keep Shabbat, you're in my nation. You don't keep Shabbat, I cut you out of the Jewish nation. V'nichreta ha-nefesh. I'm Israel. Simple Hebrew. You don't need translation. I cut that soul out of my nation for eternity. Not for one day, for eternity. Unless if he did tshuva. If he made tshuva, repentance, he starts to keep Shabbat, he asks for Hashem to forgive him. I didn't know, I'm sorry. He begins to keep Shabbat. Right away, in a minute, he becomes Jewish again. Right away. Or, if he was born in Siberia, he never heard the word Jewish all his life. He went to Russian Communist school. He doesn't know that he's even is Jewish. No Brit Mila, no nothing. And he did not keep Shabbat because he doesn't know what Shabbat is. He is not consider a goy. He's not a criminal because it's not his fault. Nobody ever told him that he has to keep Shabbat. How is he gonna know to keep Shabbat when he never heard the word Shabbat? He never heard what it means that you're not allowed to create fire on Shabbat or to drive a car. He never heard. So he's not a criminal. So you cannot exclude him from the Jewish nation because he's not a criminal. But a Jew that know that Shabbat is a special day. It's the day that God gave to the Jewish people only, not to the Goyim. And that's the eternal covenant between the Jewish people and God. And he still does not care about Shabbat. For him, Shabbat is a weekday. What does it mean, mechalel? It comes from the word chol, yom chol. Shabbat for him is Tuesday. It's Monday, no difference. Whatever he does in the rest of the week, he does on Shabbat. Drives the car, smoke, everything as usual. So he doesn't make Shabbat a special holy day like the Torah required. As a result of that, God said to him, you didn't accept my covenant, my agreement. I don't keep my share in the agreement. I promise to the Jews that keep my agreement, that when they die, I take their soul and put it in heaven for eternity. If they listen to me, if they don't keep the covenant, they lost their Jewish status. So as long as you're alive, you can fix it. Once you died, you missed the train. Yes?
Question. With what you said,
yeah.
My concern as a parent for my kids is to marry Jewish husbands, wives, with the fact that we don't Shomer Shabbat.
Not yet. You mean not yet? Okay.
Should I help with them marrying Jews because we're not considered Jews?
Repeat the last sentence.
With what you said, yeah. We're not considered Jews until we Shomer Shabbat.
Right.
And for now, we're not Jews.
Yes.
Me. So my kids, that I'm so worried that they keep the Judaism and so we keep it, should I not be concerned for them to marry Jews because we're not considered?
No, no, no. You got the opposite conclusion. When we say that the people that do not keep Shabbat, they are considered to be goyim, it doesn't mean that it gives them now permission to go eat pork, or to go steal, or to go all kinds of other crimes. It's like a person that say to his lawyer, you know what, since I'm a rapist, I might as well become a killer also. What the fuck does it make? Anyway, I'm going to jail. So let me go and eliminate another 100 people. You know, maybe I'm going to achieve a little bit more before I go to jail. It doesn't work that way, because the more sins that a Jew will do, even though right now he's not Shomer Shabbat, he's excluded as a punishment. He's still obligated to keep all the laws of the Torah. And whatever he does not keep, he will be punished for, on top of the Shabbat. Therefore, we cannot say, since I'm not doing this, I might as well not do that. Now let's go back to the purpose of life. Yeah.
But being excluded from heaven in eternity?
Only if he dies. Only if he dies, mechalel Shabbat.
I understand, but it's the ultimate punishment.
Yes.
So what more punishment can he get?
Nothing. It's the worst crime and with the biggest punishment. You're right. You put your finger on the dust. Yeah. Please, in the back, it's very disturbing that you talk to each other. Go ahead.
Last Torah, my husband gave me, he said that Hashem mentions in the Torah that he wants the Jewish people to keep Shabbat 12 times. Do you know why?
Yes. The more times something repeats in the Torah, that shows the people that it's more important in the eyes of God. For instance, what subject repeats in the Torah more than any other subject? Do you know? No. There's one thing that repeats more times.
You love the other person like you love yourself?
No, that's mentioned only once or twice.
Converts.
To love the converts, not to deceive them, not to torture them, not to upset them, to welcome them, not to take advantage on them, to give them rights, you know, all kinds of things to protect the gerim, the goyim that came to convert to Judaism for real, not because they wanted to play in Maccabi for $2 million a year. This kind of goyim, no problem. 36 times,
wow,
all together in different variations. But other than that, Shabbat, the eternal covenant between the Jewish nation and Hashem, is mentioned 12 times. How many times it's mentioned that you should not kill? 3 times. That just show you how much more important is Shabbat, more than you should not kill. Now I want to give you another example. Reuven and Shimon, today they have a trial in the same court by the same judge. Reuven is from 10 to 12, Shimon is from 12 to 2. Reuven got 3 months probation. On the way, you don't know what crime he did. It's in hidden rooms, they don't let the media. It's Reuven and the judge, that's it, and the lawyers. He came out, what did you get, sir? 3 months probation. You don't know what crime he made. Then you go to Shimon, same judge, from 12 to 2. What did you get, Shimon? He comes out with handcuffs, 30 years in prison. And you don't know which crimes they did. Now somebody comes to you to do a survey. Sir, I know you've been here in court all day. Which one of the two criminals made a bigger crime? Reuven from 10 to 12, or Shimon from 12 to 2? How do we know? Punishment testify how severe was the crime. Everyone agree about this concept?
Yes.
It's all over the world, right? Human logic. Which one of the two crimes, besides speaking in the kitchen after 10 times I asked not to, which one of the two crimes has a bigger punishment in the Torah. You should not kill or you should not break Shabbat.
Break Shabbat.
Break Shabbat, a much bigger punishment than you should not kill.
But it's not in the real world.
Huh?
It's not real.
It's real. The people are not real. The Torah is real. It's like your son saying to him, shh. It's like your son's going to public school and you shh, and you tell him, don't touch drugs, son. Don't touch drugs. Mommy, it's unreal. Everyone takes drugs. It's unreal. So what does it mean? Oh, so everyone takes drugs, so you also take drugs. Here, you forgot your needles, honey, come. It's unreal not to take drugs. Well, you want to be crazy? You're not going to be normal. It's normal to take drugs. It's normal to be a liar. It's normal to be a thief. It's normal to be a cheater. It's normal. But that means that everyone has to be like that. I'd rather be not normal. Yes?
I think what you were saying is that the Torah has to evolve with the time. So it needs to be changed.
Very good point. Thank you for being a good lawyer for him.
I think you know I'm a lawyer.
Very good. All right. He has a good point. Logical. Logical.
Well.
After your lawyer speak, you're not allowed to talk. Allah, like that, the microphone. In my old days, I used to. Yeah, I don't want to. Now, let me answer your attorney, please. That's a very good point, but inaccurate. Logical, but inaccurate. Because remember what I said before? We are not allowed to mix our own logic and our own ideas. We must stick to the text of the Torah. And this is what the Torah says. These laws will never be changed or modified ever. This Torah will never change in any possible way ever. Meaning, today and 1,000 years later and 3,000 and 10,000 years later, the same laws that it's written here will apply to every Jew all over the world. You're not allowed to create fire on the 7 days, will never stop to exist, never. Will always remain. And all the other laws, you will always have the law you should not steal. You will always have the law you should not kill. It will never become allowed. Even if the Muslim will become 99% of the people in the world and they will kill non-stop and everybody will kill everyone, the 1% of the people that will still follow the rules of the Torah will still be guilty if they kill. They're not going to be able to use it as a claim, as a defense, but everybody kill every minute. So how do you expect me not to? It's just the same thing, like you cannot tell the judge in court, everyone drives 70 on the highway. Why you only came to me? Why you arrest me? Why you pulled me over? 5 million cars a day drive 70. I'm the only one that's gonna pay that $300 ticket and have points on my license. Why? You got caught and you are being judged. The difference between the court here and the court of heaven, that the court over here can judge only the one that got caught. The court of heaven, everybody gets caught. No one gets away from it. It's just a matter of timing. If it doesn't happen now, it will happen later and later. And eventually, everybody will be punished for every time he lights a cigarette on Shabbat, for every time he starts a car, for every time he steal, for every time he speak bad about other person. Every one of the violation of the rules, it's registered in the book of God. Where does it say it? Ein roa ve'ozen shomat ve'chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nichtavim. There's an eye who watch you, there's a ear who listens to you, and everything you do is recorded in the book of God. A verse. End of story. And God doesn't have shortage of battery. The battery remains forever. Look at the sun. how many thousands of years it gives energy and it does not dissolve. Stay the same sun. Unbelievable. No source of energy. Every other fire consumes wood. Needs to consume something to create fire. The sun constantly produces fire non-stop for thousands and according to scientists for millions of years. And not one time it was reduced by 1%. Same heat, same energy, and the speed of light is exactly 300,000 kilometers per second. It doesn't go 1 kilometer faster, 1 kilometer lower. Why? Because it will change all the watches in the world. It will change time eventually. And it will destroy Judaism. If the speed of Earth, which is 17,000 kilometers per hour, it goes around its center. If it will change to 1600 per hour, after a few days, instead of midnight, it will be 11:55. After a year, it will, the baby that was born, you won't be sure if it was born on Friday or on Shabbat. Because according to some watches, it was on Friday, and according to the other one, it was on Shabbat. You will not be able to be a Jew. That's why you cannot play with the time, because Judaism is very important about time. Sunset, sunrise, 3 hours from the sunrise, 45 minutes after sunset. There's specific time for every mitzvah. Mitzvah of circumcision only in a day, not at night. Mitzvah on Shabbat, only 24 hours of Shabbat. Not on the day before or the day after. It can go by minutes, by seconds. You light a cigarette a minute before Shabbat finished, you just got yourself a death penalty and you lose your shirt to the world to come. You do it a minute later, no sins, besides ruining your health. But you did not break Shabbat. The 1 minute can be a matter of life and death, like everything else in life. It's all about timing. You press the sell in a stock market, now, or 30 seconds later, it's $1 million difference. Now, you made 2 million, 30 seconds later, you will make 3 million. Only 30 seconds! $1 million extra. Or to win or to lose, yes.
So I keep Shabbat, but by accident for this Shabbat, I left my bathroom door and I shut up light and I didn't drink on purpose. It was by accident. So what happens then?
So if there was a Bet HaMikdash now, you would have to bring a sacrifice to Bet HaMikdash to do repentance for the not intentional breaking the laws of Shabbat. Okay. But I want you to know one thing. Today, if you lived in Israel, it's no big deal. You start your BMW, you drive to Jerusalem, you pass by Shuk Machane Yehuda. Over there, you buy a goat before they slaughter it, you put it in a trunk, you drive to the Kotel, you give it to the Kohen, he takes it upstairs, he puts it on the altar, you come over there, you see all the blood, you do vidui, chatati, aviti, you begin to cry when you see the poor sheep, and the Kohen say to you, no, you must be more careful with Shabbat. So the whole day, the whole thing took 1 day. You drove from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, you went to buy the goat, you drove to the Western Wall, you went up to the temple, you gave it to the Kohen, you waited online, he sacrificed it for you, you finished, you went back, you drove back to Tel Aviv, the whole day is gone. So you miss a day at work. Back in time, if you live in Tiberias, it had to be 2 weeks to get to Jerusalem on your donkey. 2 weeks. And life risk. Because you have to go through the forest, there was no roads, no neon lights, no BMW, on a donkey. And the donkey now decides that he's not in the mood to walk. So you sit now 10 hours in the middle of the forest on the way to Jerusalem and you hear Muhammad screaming, Saeed, where are you? And you're thinking, Ya Allah, why did I shut the light here in the bathroom? Why? Look at me now. Finally, after 2 weeks, you made it to Jerusalem. And now you made it to Jerusalem, you went to buy the goat, it's another 2 days, because you don't have a BMW. So you have to convince him to walk. So he has to walk all the way from the market to climb all the way over there. Wow, it's a big balagan. Finally, he agreed to come to be killed. Then you finish waiting online, you give it to the Kohen. Now you have to go back to your donkey. So you go all the way back. Now the donkey has to go all back to Tiberias another 2 weeks. So now 1 month from your life is gone for 1 second that you shut the light accidentally. In the meantime, you went out of business. Do you know what happened if you have a business and 1 month the owner is not in the business? What the workers will do to your business? When you come back, you won't even have a store in the place. It's all gone. Even the walls they stole. So for one tiny breaking Shabbat, not intentionally, bankruptcy. 1 month away from the children. One month away from the family. Risking your life all the way to Jerusalem to make a correction for one time, in not intentionally, that you broke Shabbat. Why we break Shabbat not intentionally? You know why? Why? Because we don't care about Shabbat enough. If we care about Shabbat so much, it would be in our mind constantly. We will never forget that it's Shabbat to shut the light, because we're constantly thinking about Shabbat. I'll give you an example. A person is about to be judged in front of a judge. The judge has to decide if to send him to 2 years in prison now or to give him 6 months probation. Do you think that by sitting for 1 hour and waiting until the judge will call his name, he will think about anything else besides what's going to happen with me? Do you think he's going to think about his Uncle Moshe that is coming from America for Pesach? Will he think about him right now? Will he think about his new girlfriend? Why she didn't call today? All he will think about now, I'm going free or I'm going to jail and I'm going to kill myself. That's all. I'll give you an example. There was a trial, real story, true. What is the trial? One person, they blame him that he murdered another person. Murder trial. As he came to America in one of the states of America for a trial, after the jury was 100% convinced that he's the murderer, they're about to read his verdict. His lawyer pulled up a brilliant, brilliant idea. He said to the judge, "Your Honor, I want to tell you something that I could not tell you until now, that is going to shock you and the entire people in this room. What is it? In 10 minutes from now, the real murderer will walk in the door of the courtroom." So the judge is looking at him, the jury, everyone is in shock. He said, "Come on, there's no time for jokes here." He said to the judge, "Judge, I wouldn't make myself look like a fool, right? Now it's 1 p.m. Give me until 1:10. Don't do anything, please. 10 minutes, sit and wait. Can you wait 10 minutes before you sentence an innocent person to death penalty?" The judge looked at the jury. "Okay, 10 minutes break." I didn't say break in a kitchen over there. In a courtroom. פעמים אפשר לבקש ואף אחד לא אכפת לו, זה מדהים. So we're gonna finish in 1 minute. Let me just finish the story. So the lawyer said to the judge, "In 10 minutes the murderer will walk in, the real murderer." And everybody now looks at the door. 9, 8, 7, 5, 4, 2, 1, 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1, 0. What happened? Nobody walked in. The judge now became very serious. He looked at the lawyer with the killer face. "Tell me, do you think I'm in a mood for jokes? Where is the killer?" The lawyer said to the judge, "Your Honor, we have a rule in this country. You cannot convict a person unless he's proven as guilty beyond any reasonable doubt. You and the jury just looked at the door like waiting for the Messiah to come in. You were sure that any minute the real murderer will walk in. That shows that you're not sure that my client is the murderer. If you were 100% sure, you would not agree to wait 10 minutes. You would tell me, don't waste our time, we found him guilty already, goodbye. But the fact that all of you waited and looked at the door, it's proven that you're not 100% sure that he's the murderer. How are you going to execute an innocent person, possibly? Everyone got nervous, the media, people, quiet in the courtroom. The judge is puzzled now. He doesn't know what to do. So the judge say, 2 hours break, the jury into the room. Balagan now. It was a mamash minute before they sentenced him to death. Now the jury is arguing for a few hours. They came out again. Did you reach a verdict? Yes, Your Honor. What is it? The defendant is guilty. Again, noise. How can it be guilty? The lawyer just proved that it's a doubt. So he said, how did you agree that he's guilty? The lawyer said. So one woman raised her hand. She said, I convinced all of them that he's guilty. They all wanted to set him free. All the jury. But I told them that he's 100% guilty and I proved it to them. So the judge asked, how did you do it? She say, while everyone looked at the door waiting for the murderer to come in, I did not take my eyes for 1 second away from the face of the defendant. He is the only one from 100 people sitting in a courtroom that did not look at the door even for 1 second. Do you know why? Because he knew exactly who killed. He knew no one would walk in. Who would walk in? I'm the murderer. No one would walk in. If he would walk also in the door, I will have a doubt myself. Since he never looked, he is the murderer, and they went back with all the evidence and found him guilty. Any question before we finish? Let's just, yeah?
Yeah, do you have any gold to sell her just for the thing?
What?
I said, do you have any goats for sale for the thing?
No, she will buy it in Machane Yehuda in Yerushalayim. I'll give her an address. Now, let's conclude the lecture. It's not 7:20 after all. I thought we have another hour to talk, but... Yeah.
About Beit Shabbat, that was Korban Chatat?
Korban Chatat, yeah. That's for not intentional Chilul Shabbat.
What about now we don't have Beit HaMikdash?
Now there's nothing we can do. We give charity and we do tshuva. That's it.
So is that what I should do?
That's what you should do.
Give charity and tshuva?
Give something charity.
So just say
and God. Pray to Hashem. When you pray, you do vidui, chatati, aviti, pashati. By mistake, chilalti Shabbat. All right.
And then give charity.
That's it. And then Yom Kippur come and we'll wash it away. Now, I want to conclude for those of you who came late. Many of you came late. So let's conclude. I started the lecture with speaking about the fact that almost not one Jew in the world knows the purpose of life. I went on to explain that the Jewish people received the book from the Creator of the world who taught us what's the purpose of life. Today we are alive. We must follow the instructions of the Torah. And when we die, if we did what God told us to do, we will find ourselves in a place called heaven for a long, long time of unbelievable spiritual divine pleasure. If we will not listen to God, we will find our place in a very, very, very painful place. That whatever you saw in Auschwitz does not come near that place. And I don't want to go into details. That's the two options that a Jew has in his life. The Goyim also. The Goyim also have heaven and they also have hell. In a different format. But the same idea. You listen to me, you will be rewarded. You don't listen to me, you will be punished. There's no in between. You either do the right thing or you do the wrong thing. You with me, you with me. You against me, you against me. That's it. Now, everyone has the evil inclination. Sometimes a person knows what needs to be done, but he still have desire to do the opposite. He knows it's not proper to steal, but he cannot stop himself. He knows it's not good to cheat, but he does it. He knows it's not good to speak bad about people and ruin their life, but he does it. He knows it's not good to curse and to be angry and fight with people, but it happens to him. It happens. We are not perfect. The Torah gives us the tools to correct our bad traits, to fix our ego and pride and the jealousy and the anger and the laziness and our devotion and our generosity and our integrity and honesty. The more you learn Torah, the more you want to change. You pray and you follow the instructions of the Torah, the better human being you're going to become. I can tell you from experience that over the years, I saw hundreds of Israeli secular people that I brought into the yeshiva in Monsi, and they came totally secular, some of them even criminals, with criminal record. And they started to sit and learn Torah, and less than 6 months later, you could not recognize even one thing about them from the past. The way they dress, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they wake up in the morning, the way they pray, the integrity, the devotion, the honesty. They don't touch a pen now without permission. Not to talk about stealing. They became totally different people. No connection between what he was to what he became. How does a person change to such a different person in such a short period of time? There is no possible way to change even a little bit without Torah. If you think that by going to psychologists and psychiatrists and seminars and all kinds of nonsense that the world has to offer, it's going to make you a better person, you're nothing but dreaming. Because God said in the Torah, I gave you the evil inclination, I gave you your weaknesses, I gave you your desires, and I am telling you how you can get cured. How? Only by learning my Torah every day nonstop. What's the proof? I'll give you an example. When guys leave the yeshiva, when they are in the yeshiva, they pray half an hour. They don't have to. Nobody stand and measure how long you pray. Pray 5 minutes, no problem. Half an hour, Tfilat Shmona Esre. 1 month after they leave the yeshiva, 20 minutes. 2 months after they leave the yeshiva, 10 minutes. 4 months after they leave the yeshiva, 5 minutes. 6 months after they left the yeshiva, 1 or 2 minutes. A year later, they don't come to pray bichlal. Hearing. What? You went back to be chiloni? Rabbi, it's hard, it's a lay. It's not Monsi over here. You don't know how difficult life here. With all the people and this and the parties and the women and the mall. Wow, all day I'm selling irons in the mall. Do you know how many people I see every day? How many girls? You expect me to be tzaddik like Rosin Yeshiva? In a Shiur Gemara? That's reality. The Torah melts and destroys the evil inclination of the person. Once he stopped learning for a few days, massive drop in his spirituality. I remember when I went to my parents one time, they live, I grew up 1 block from the beach in Bat Yam in Israel, much by the beach. You walk a minute and you're already in the beach. And it's the area over there became now a lot of Russian people moved in and 99% of them are goyim. So they go with crosses on their neck, they sell rabbits and pork in every block, they walk naked on the street. It became such a horrible area. It wasn't like this. It was always secular, always. But it became 100 times more secular than before. So only being there 1 week by my parents, One morning I got up, I did not have desire to go to shul. I said to myself, enough, I don't go to shul. I pray at home. I didn't want to go to shul. Then I started to realize, I said, how can it be to me? How can it happen to me? Just being with all the wicked people around me already brought me 50 or 100% down on my level. Right away, I took my car and ran away to Jerusalem to be with the tzaddikim. Right away, you change atmosphere. Again, you went back to life. You live with wicked people, you become wicked. You live with righteous people, you become righteous. This is the way it is. That's it. There's nothing you can do. And King David that wrote Tehillim, Psalms, he started his book with a bombastic sentence. Ashrei ha'ish שלא הלך בעצת ישרים ובמושב לצים לא ישב. Did not follow the way of the wicked to run to their parties, to live with them, to be with them, to laugh with them, and did not hang up with all the losers, with their dirty jokes and their wives that comes naked and the food that is not kosher and the dirty movie around the clock all the time in their living room. And how they dress, and how they eat, and how they make fun at people, and how they do, they talk about only materialism and money, and which car you're gonna buy, and how to show me the diamond. People with no purpose, people with no future, people without a living soul. Their soul is totally dead already, and they don't even feel it. How can it be that a person got to such a low level? His soul is dead and he doesn't feel it. The answer is like this. Do you know what's the difference between the body and the soul? It's the same difference between a male chicken and a female chicken. What's the difference between male chicken and a female chicken? If you do not feed your male chicken for a few hours, he walks, walk, up, he falls and dies. Get up. Hey, what's happening? Kukuriku, do something. He's dead. Why couldn't you make noise? You just lost 15 bucks. The female, you don't give her some wheat and barley? 1 or 2 hours late? The pictures is down, the clock is upside down, the chandelier is broken. You don't mess with the girl. You take away your wife's credit card, you're gonna leave, you sleep outside tonight. You understand? So what happened? You don't give food to the female, she's gonna make you realize it. Make me food. I'm not in a mood. But you put a limit on my credit card, make yourself food. You understand? You pick up your son from school. You think I'm your slave? 2 weeks later, divorce, rabbi. Why? He lowered their budget from 2,000 to 1,000 a month. That's it. So now, the body, if a person doesn't give food to his body, or he doesn't give food to his soul, if you don't feed the soul, what's the food of the soul? Torah and mitzvot. 30 years! Not 1 hour of Torah. You don't listen to CDs, you don't come to shul, no shiurim, no prayers, no Shabbat, no tefillin, no kosher food, no nothing. You don't feel anything. The soul is dying and dying and dying and doesn't make one beep. Help! Nothing. You don't feed your body 6 hours, headache, fatigue. That's it. The body doesn't want to walk, doesn't want to get up. 10 hours no food, you're ready to kill someone. Don't tell me to come to work today. I'm fasting. Yom Kippur, 2 p.m. What happened in the shuls? From 2 p.m., everyone's face go to the west. Why? I mean to the north. Why? Why? The clock is on the north. When this nightmare will over? 6 more hours without the food? You're already thinking about the hot bagels and the shakshuka and the cream cheese and the special Greek olives and the black coffee, the espresso machine. You know. This is very difficult. 3 o'clock is more tired. 4, 5, headache. Rabbi, I need to rest. What do you mean niteres? Tfilat neila now. The most important hour. I have to wake up the people. I'm running the show in Yom Kippur. So, I have to wake them up, to cheer them up. Give it one more hour. Why? They're all like this already. Why? You don't feed your body, the body go on a strike. You don't feel your soul, the soul is dead and you won't realize it. Life is great, Rabbi. One Chiloni told me, you speak very nice, but you will never convince me. I love my life. Look at my house. Look at my cars. 3 times a year I go on vacation. I'm healthy. I play tennis. I have sons. I have daughter. Look at how pretty my wife is. I made it. You can give me all the speeches. I'm happy. So I say to him, if you go to the hotel, they have a public bathroom on the main lobby floor. When you go into the bathroom, when you walk in, as soon as you breathe, or in the airport, you breathe what's happened over there, you want to faint. Oh, what a nightmare. I have 2 minutes to be here. Then you see amigo, Jose, cleaning the mirrors, and this, standing over there, ¿Cómo está, señor? Enjoy life. You want to vomit from the smell? Let me, and he, how you doing, señor? ¿Cómo está? Where are you flying today? After 3 minutes that you're stuck in the bathroom, you couldn't make it faster. You come out, Jose is still smiling. Now you're also smiling. ¿Cómo está, muchacho? Gracias a Dios. You have a 15 minutes conversation with him. You don't vomit anymore. You get used to the delicious smell over there. When you're inside the bathroom, you don't feel that you're inside the bathroom. You don't feel. You want to feel that you're in a bathroom? Go outside for an hour. And then come back in. Then you realize that you don't live in a house and your wife. Usually all these people that put a show that they're happy, they are the first ones standing online when the rabbi finished the lecture. Rabbi, I have to talk to you. And then all the fake smile and the show change into the real situation. My son doesn't talk to me, my ex-wife suing me, this one, my daughter married to an Arab, my son married this woman, she's Goya, now he has a son from another Goya, and my wife is cheating on me, I check in the internet, all of a sudden, what happened to the house, and the car, and the money, and the suntan, and the beautiful pool, and the water fountains, it's all garbage. Give him 1 hour of happiness, he will burn his own house with his own hands. The only way to be happy is to be connected to Hashem every hour of your life. You will never reach happiness without it. Everyone who thinks it's possible without it, from 22 years of experience, I'm telling you, it's not possible. Because this is how God designed the world. You cannot live without me. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. Anything that you may think that you are happy, it's an illusion. People who take cocaine or heroin, they also think they're happy. And what happened the next day? Falling from the Empire State Building for 3 days. And then, you know the end. Please, let's wake up. Please take CDs. I'm going to leave some CDs. I want to invite Rabbi Yochanan. We have a very special guest here. The night just begin right now. This was a preview. You're going? No, don't worry. It's not going to be long. I really beg you not to move from your chair. He's going to give you an incredible personal story. I say not to move from the chair. Ah, ladies' room, it's okay. Ladies' room. First time I'm here, like you. So, right here. Yeah. So, now you're going to hear an incredible personal story. And the show will continue. In the meantime, when Rabbi Yochanan is coming and take the stand, I am going to put some CDs right here on the table. Feel free to take them. Some I'm going to put in Hebrew, some in English. Take and give it to your friends. It's very interesting, CDs and DVDs. Please do not leave, but at least take one of each or 10 of each. Just find who to give it to. Thank you very much for having us here tonight. Let's begin the show.